Good evening. Welcome in to Tar Heel Talk, new sports program here on WCHL. I'm Blake Hodge. Ross Martin here as we are setting off on a little bit of a new venture, Ross. We're going to do our absolute best to satisfy the appetite out there for UNC-centric sports talk, specifically here, of course, in Chapel Hill, but everybody knows it is the Tar Heel State after all. So hopefully expand that reach and give everybody a great comprehensive look at what's going on with UNC athletics, not only with games and recaps, previews, all that stuff, the behind-the-scenes work that's going on, the work being done out on the practice field throughout the last couple of weeks getting ready for the football season that is coming up. And we are so excited to get started with this, along with Ross Martin from Carolina Blue, 247sports.com. Ross, thanks so much for agreeing to be a part of this as we're kind of launching into a little bit of a new venture here for us.
Yeah, super excited to start this show. And really, it's going to be an intense, comprehensive look at UNC sports from all angles. We're going to get into practices, into depth charts, into the roster shakeouts for basketball and football. And with the fifth year of Larry Fedora and Roy Williams' reign in Chapel Hill, it's an exciting time to follow UNC sports and be a part of it. So we're pumped to get started here with this show. And not just team stuff, we're getting to recruiting stuff and really break down UNC sports from all angles and all aspects of it.
Yeah, it's weird with so much of UNC athletics being in the news coverage over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years with the UNC scandal and everything that's been going on with the NCAA. You're still coming off of a year that was arguably the most successful overall as an athletics department in UNC history. You know, it's a year you saw two national titles in men's and women's lacrosse, and then you've got a football team that won 11 games, went to the Russell Athletic Bowl, the ACC championship game, a basketball team that went to the national championship game. But it's also a time of transition for Carolina athletics because you're losing a few guys that have been kind of the face of the program in both of those areas where you're, you know, basketball, of course, Marcus Page, Bryce Johnson, a little bit easier to choose. But on the football side of things, as you've been out there watching all of these practices, there are several guys that you're used to seeing around that Marquise Williams smile, laughing, trying to get everybody hyped up for all these practices, and then the professionalism of Shaquille Rashad, Jeff Schottmer getting after it every day on the football field from the linebacker spot. Those guys are gone now. They're all signed with NFL teams right now as they're heading into their own training camp. So certainly a little bit of a different world around UNC athletics right now.
Yeah, I think momentum around the program is at an all-time high, coming off that 11-win season and the Coastal Championship, and then getting to the ACC Championship and losing that bowl game against Baylor. Despite all those losses, 11 wins, I can't remember the last time that happened, and Larry Fedora's fifth season here, the team is rolling, the offense is rolling, and in the second year in Gene Chizik's reign at UNC, there's a lot to be excited about. You're right, they did lose a lot of players, some senior leaders, but I think guys are going to step in, and it's going to be an exciting year for the football team. I've been at every practice, every media availability, and optimism is high, especially for this offense, which has a lot of explosive playmakers, and a defense that's very young but very talented, and there's a lot expected from them to step up so UNC can take that next step this year.
Yeah, the recently passed Bill Dooley actually being the first coach to get UNC to 11 wins. So Fedora following in some pretty heavy footsteps here as far as Carolina athletics go. And, UNC for a long time has been known as one of the sleeping giants around college football. I kind of hate that term just in general because if it's one of those things, if there's so much potential, then why hasn't it ever, kind of come to fruition on a regular basis for a long time? Of course, you had stretches of the Bill Dooley era and then Mac Brown all really building UNC into a top 25 program on a regular basis, but then there was always the doldrums in between. So now with Fedora still here, just getting a big new contract at the end of last year, and now going into, as you were saying, a team that's completely his, it's important to try to sustain that high level, and that's not always the easiest thing to do.
They have to keep it going, and getting to 10-11 wins this season is the goal. And the ultimate goal is getting back to Charlotte for the ACC Championship game. Fedora talked about that in Charlotte during ACC Media Days as the team focused to get back there and then win their last game. That's what they want to do. They want to win the state, win the ACC Coastal, get to Charlotte for the ACC Championship game, win the ACC, and then win their last game, whether that's in the playoff or it's some bowl game in December or January.
And that's where it's different in terms of expectations, I guess, than last year. UNC fans always enter the season with pretty high expectations, I would say, on a pretty regular basis at least. But now it seems that that expectation has shifted over to the football team, actually. And Larry Fedora actually talked about that a little bit last night. Larry Fedora live from Top of the Hill, as heard right here on WCHL. And, of course, you'll hear it every week throughout the football season. Fedora talked a little bit about that culture change and what it means for the team and trying to sustain that.
You know, now we've kind of established a certain culture that we've been looking for, and I think the guys understand that. And so what's really neat is watching when these young guys come in, how the older guys say, you know, hey, this is the way we do things. This is the way it's got to be done.
And that is something I'm sure you've been able to pick up on a little bit from practice, Ross, and seeing some of that older guys taking accountability, not only for themselves, but for the younger guys. What's that been like, actually seeing that chemistry? You know, UNC had very detailed chemistry issues just a couple of years ago. Certainly seems to have been a complete flip.
Yeah, I think this year there's been no drop-off in leadership. Last year you had Jeff Schottmer, Marquise Williams, Landon Turner, Shaquille Rashad were the main guys. But then this year you step in with Mac Hollins, Ryan Switzer, guys on defense like Nazir Jones, Andre Smith, Des Lawrence, and there's been that culture change. Like you said, they expect to win. They expect to be dominant and get to the different championship games and winning. And that winning culture and being a explosive offense and an intimidating defense has really been the atmosphere around practice and around this team. They're very confident, very optimistic about what they can do this year. And the big thing, I think, is winning those big games. Last year, they lost to South Carolina
right.
Start of the season. Then they went on this huge winning streak, I guess 11 games.
11 in a row, yeah.
And then they lost to Clemson, and they lost to Baylor. And it kind of two big losses against big-time, you know, top 10, top 15 teams. And those are the games they're going to have to win to get to that next level. 11 games is nice, but after you win 11 games, what do you want to do? You have to move up, move down, and they want to move up. So games like at Florida State this year,
yeah,
at Miami, and then of course the Georgia opener. Those are three marquee games, you know, big time, high profile, prime time games that UNC has to do really well, look really good, and hopefully win for UNC fans to kind of become that team that nationally is talked about.
And that's one of the differences in expectations, I would argue, for probably fans and for the players, is that last year there were certain games that you were going into as a fan or whatever it may be, and I don't know if expected a letdown is a right way to put it, but something that you've certainly seen before. Going to Pittsburgh is something that immediately comes to mind. These are games that typically, just flat out honestly, UNC does not have a really strong track record in recent memory of going somewhere rather hostile against a team that's pretty evenly matched in a lot of ways and coming out with a win and just dismantling Duke and State the way that they did last year. It really has elevated their mindset, it seems like, from those kind of games. You still have to focus on those games, of course, to win those games, but the expectation and the hope of reaching a next level of win, you know, if you go to Florida State and knock off the Seminoles, to Miami, now Miami has been in flux a little bit the last few years, and Carolina beat Miami last year, but Mark Richt down there at his alma mater now going from Georgia, and of course against those Bulldogs with Kirby Smart now as their head coach, those are three really high level games.
It's kind of crazy that the expectation has changed so much in 1 year. Yeah. After you win 11 games and become the ACC Coastal Champion, these games against Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh and at Illinois and Virginia
right.
don't seem as big. It seemed like, okay, this UNC team is good. They're going to win those games.
You got to win those. Yeah.
They're looking ahead to games like Georgia. We were looking ahead to games like Georgia and Florida State. But the Coastal is always crazy.
It
so
is.
We never know what's going to happen with Georgia Tech and Duke and Virginia Tech and those teams. So it should be an interesting season. And has some great opportunities for UNC to kind of claim themselves as a top 10 team, as a national marquee program.
It seems like being picked to win the Coastal can be the kiss of death.
Yeah.
And sometimes Georgia Tech last year being the just the latest example of the craziness in the Coastal. But we have got a lot more to get to here on the first edition of Tar Heel Talk, the inaugural program here. And we are excited to talk a little bit more about what's been going on in training camp to make sure that those expectations are met and when there's not that drop off. So we've got training camp talk coming up. We'll get into some breakdown of some individual players. More audio from Larry Fedora live last night. We'll hear from Gene Chizik later on as well. And we have got a lot more to get to. Ross Martin, Blake Hodge here for Tar Heel Talk on WCHL.
All right, guys, welcome back in to Tar Heel Talk. I'm Ross Martin with Blake Hodge. We're talking Tar Heel football in preparation for the 2017 season. The big thing looking ahead is the fact that UNC returns so many players. They're bringing back 8 guys on offense and 7 guys on defense. And you look at what they did last year on offense, breaking records, running the score up on teams like Duke, Miami, and State. It was pretty incredible. And they bring back that core, including 4 or 5 offensive linemen, a great core of wide receivers, and Elijah Hood, who's a beast.
And TJ Logan. I don't want TJ Logan to get, you know, kind of left behind in this talk, because Elijah Hood, very deservedly, is getting a lot of attention right now, not only for what he did on the football field, but Avery Trindle, I know several other people did the story where Elijah spent most of the summer lifting weights, going to practice, then putting on a suit and tie and going to Raleigh and working in the General Assembly. The dude is just an all-around one of those unbelievable guys. TJ Logan is going to add, always adds a nice secondary burst to this team, though, and I think that just another weapon that we can't forget about when talking about UNC.
And the great thing about those two is they're completely different types of running backs.
Yeah.
Elijah Hood's that 6-foot, 225-pound power back with great straight line speed, and TJ Logan's more of that scat back, catch the ball in the backfield, kind of very versatile in terms of how he cuts with the ball. But you look at this team, you know, you say 4 or 5 offensive linemen. Big loss there, though, with Landon Turner at right guard. And we're going to talk about that a lot more in the next segment. But UNC has some question marks there. They have 4 or 5 guys, and bringing back that core is huge in terms of experience and guys who have, you know, many, many live reps on the offensive line. So that's reassuring, because UNC is adding a new quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. And the idea is that he is as good of a first-year quarterback as you could have, given what he did in the past, kind of backing up Marquise Williams. But still, it's his first time leading this team and becoming the guy for UNC.
It certainly seems so far from everything that we've seen out of training camp that the team is totally behind Mitch, and the coaching staff totally behind Mitch, even though Fedora took a little while playing some games before officially naming him the starter. I think that was probably the worst kept secret around Chapel Hill for a while, that Mitch was going to be, I was going to say under center, probably in shotgun for the first snap of the 2016 football season for the Tar Heels. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on the offensive side, and then of course we will shift over to the defensive side, but specifically with this receiving core. You run through this list of guys, even losing Quinshon Davis, who's really doing a great job from what we can tell in Detroit's training camp. Everybody seems to be a little bit surprised by this, but I think Tar Heel fans would have been able to tell you he's always going to be able to go up and have strong hands and pull down a pass that's in a lot of traffic. So Quinshon, best of luck, of course, doing well in Detroit, but he may have a little NFC North rival with Marquise Williams with the Green Bay Packers right at this moment. But talking about the Tar Heels that will be in Chapel Hill this year, you got Ryan Switzer, Matt Collins, Bug Howard, just right off the top, 3 really, really talented and different wide receivers. You know, they bring a lot of different aspects to what they can do, other than all just being flat out fast whenever it comes down to it.
Yeah, and you look at what Matt Collins did last year in leading the nation, the NCAA, in yards per catch. He's the ideal deep threat, 6'4", can run like a gazelle, and is a great guy for that long pass play for Trubisky. Bug Howard, a big-time athlete, showed what he can do last year. So I'm still kind of waiting for him to break out, but he's got all the tools.
Yeah.
And then we all know Ryan Switzer, kind of that Swiss Army knife, in terms of what he can do with the ball, in the backfield, in the slot, and as a deep threat as well. UNC's loaded at wide receiver, and they have a number of guys behind those 3 who are just kind of waiting for their opportunity. Clearly that's going to be more important next year. But there's guys like Austin Prohl in his 3rd year, Anthony Ratliff-Williams, a transfer, Jordan Cunningham, who's a I've heard some impressive things about. So UNC's stacked at wide receiver, and with Fedora's offense, where it's pass heavy with a good balance with the run, it's important to have those guys who, when they get the ball, they can make plays. And there's no reason to expect anything equal or better than what they did last year. This offense is going to be great. And back a little bit to what you were talking about with Mitch Trubisky. What I've heard is that he is more accurate than Marquise Williams. All the players don't want to kind of bash Marquise. They kind of step around him because Marquise is a great player. He was a playmaker. He was a great quarterback.
And he battled for that team. I mean, you know, putting his body on the line a lot. So I would say it's hard-pressed to find anybody saying anything negative about
Marquise. There's no knock to Marquise. Great guy. Awesome interview. But I've just heard really good things in terms of what Mitch Trubisky can do in terms of putting the ball on the money, going through his progressions, and hitting who he needs to hit to get the ball where it needs to be.
And whenever you're talking about Bug Howard, still kind of waiting on him to have that breakout season, but it's kind of the same situation you're talking about with those other third and fourth guys that you mentioned. Those are really talented receivers. But whenever you're trying to break through this level of play for the Tar Heels, it's a challenge and something I'm sure that they all take on in a competitive way, but there's just a lot of depth there at wide receiver. And right now, for this season at least, that carries over to running back. Now, it could be a little bit thin after this year because TJ Logan's going to be a senior this year. Elijah Hood's a junior, but certainly is going to draw some attention if he has another season like he did last year from the NFL. And the ACC is absolutely stacked at running backs as a whole. So whenever you're looking at the running back position and the offensive line with that, because they are so reliant on each other, what are you expecting from that duo of Hood and Logan? Do you expect them to play on the field a lot together this year, or you still expect them to be a change of pace?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a rotation there, and I think Hood's the main guy, probably getting anywhere between 65 to 70% of the snaps, with Logan coming in on third downs and certain series. They're both very good. You saw against State last year where Hood dominated and Logan dominated with two touchdowns, so it's great to have those two guys on the field. And the great thing about Logan is he's been cool with taking a back seat, and that kind of goes along with the chemistry of this team.
Yeah.
The players understand that the coaches are going to get the best players in positions to win games, and Logan, the senior now, is kind of the last 2 years taking a backseat to Hood because Hood is so dominant and, like you said, has a good chance to go NFL after his junior season. It was really exciting to think that UNC is not just this passing team with the Fed spread.
Yeah, right.
It's a very good running team, and expect a lot of balance this year with Coach Cap now taking, Coach Chris Kapilovic taking the offensive play calling duties. It's going to be just as much run as pass, and with that offensive line with three seniors, they're going to have the ability to run the ball and run down teams' throats.
And Logan gets his hands on the ball other ways as well. As you said, catching more out of the backfield than Hood does, and also returning kicks. You put TJ Logan and Ryan Switzer back there to return kicks, and those are two of the most dynamic guys you can get doing that. Switzer, of course, a chance to break the NCAA punt return touchdown record this year. So we'll see how he does. Switching over to the other side, defense 2 years ago, really historically bad, and that is not an overstatement. They were a very bad defensive unit. You brought in Gene Chizik last year, of course, won the national championship at Auburn as the head coach, national championship at Texas as a defensive coordinator. Defensive coordinator entering his second year as the Tar Heels, leading that defense. So what are you seeing that's maybe a little bit different? Can you tell that there's more going on in terms of scheme on the defensive side, and are these guys able to grab onto that and go forward with it so far in training camp?
Yeah, I think the big thing is that they're year two in this defense, and last year they were just catching their breath trying to figure out what they were doing because they had to reteach everything. They had to learn new techniques. They went back and kind of broke everything down and did fundamentals in spring, basic tackling, basic, you know, moving your hips, and they taught the scheme. And it was very bare bones. So this year, they're way more comfortable in that you know, 4-3 base they have and where they need to be. So then they're adding things. They're adding more blitz packages. Everyone is more comfortable doing what they're doing. And I expect a lot of good things from the UNC defense, especially with the defensive backs and what they bring back there. The concerns are in the front seven at defensive line and linebacker. But what they have in the back four is going to be impressive, and I'm very excited to see what guys like Des Lawrence and MJ Stewart can do back there.
Yeah, I mean, those two guys are, I would say it's hard to find another pair, at least in the ACC, that match Dez Lawrence and MJ Stewart. And you do have the loss of Sam Smiley there in the defensive secondary, but certainly seems like they've got a lot of young guys eager to get out there. And we'll get into a little more of an individual breakdown here in just a couple of minutes. But from that defensive side, anything else that you can pick up on from an energy standpoint or from a defensive staff standpoint that they're excited about heading into a new season?
I think they know that fans and the media are questioning their run defense. Right. And I think they know they need to improve the defensive line, and they're getting all this attention about how they're a weak run defense. That's the weakest link. So I expect the defensive line to be better. They have talent there. They have a little bit of experience. There's not proven yet after Baylor ran 600 yards on them. But there are players back there, and it's going to be cool to see what they can do in the second year under Gene Chizik. And at linebacker, watch out for the guy, a guy named Andre Smith. He got a lot of run last year as a freshman.
Yeah.
This year, he's a linebacker. Sorry, the quarterback of the defense. He's a middle linebacker, a really good kid, and a really solid player. And he's been making a lot of plays this year.
Well, great. Well, we're going to get a little more into the weeds here a little bit, if you will, in those individual breakdowns from the offensive and defensive side, and really find out the names of those playmakers that are going to be taking the names of some of those guys we got used to last year that may have graduated and went on to bigger and better things from Chapel Hill. We've got a lot more to get to here on Tar Heel Talk. Ross Martin and Blake Hodge on WCHL. Welcome back into Tar Heel Talk. Blake Hodge along with 24/7 Sports and Carolina Blues Ross Martin getting the inside look here at all things UNC athletics during Tar Heel Talk. Right now, focusing on football with the season just a few days away here. I know everybody is eager to cheer on the Tar Heels. I know they're eager to get onto the field and actually hit somebody that's not wearing another Carolina Blue helmet out there. So we're here again with Ross Martin. We talked a lot about the offense here in that last segment, Ross, in terms of what they're bringing back on offense at the receiver position, Elijah Hood, TJ Logan at the running back position, Trubisky, who is in his first year as the starter, but we've certainly heard a lot about and seen a lot from over the last couple of years when he was backing up Marquise Williams. The only really glaring spot on the offense is at right guard. And there was an injury earlier this year that has made that an even harder position to fill after the All-American Landon Turner left and is now with the New Orleans Saints of the National Football League. So from that position of figuring out who's going to fill that last really open slot on the offensive side of things, what are you seeing so far? And is there good, healthy competition there, or is it kind of a, you know, this is the best of what we got?
Yeah, so heading into training camp there, the idea this summer was they're going to have the four returning starters, and then John Ferrante was going to step in at right guard, a fifth-year senior, and he tore his pec muscle and is going to miss the whole year, and actually I think he's going to kind of step away from football. So there's a glaring opening at right guard. And every position on the offensive line is critical. You know, you can't have a weak link, and it makes the whole offensive line weak. So you have three guys competing for right guard. You have Tommy Hatton, you have Brad Henson, and you have R.J. Prince. And that's kind of been a big, you know, reporter training camp storyline. And nothing's been revealed as of today. So we don't know who's going to start there. But it's been some healthy competition. You have a young guy in Hatton, who was a four-star guy, came in as a center, but they kind of moved him to guard to compete for that role. And you have two juniors, and R.J. Prince and Brad Hinton, who are competing for it. And the idea is, you know, the best guy's going to win. The best guy's going to play. A lot of different attributes of each guy. And it seems like, from what I think and what I've people I've talked to, that Hatton kind of has the lead right now. A really ferocious, aggressive, young player, but it's a very tough position to learn. So there's been some struggles there for all three guys to grasp it. And while they're doing this, they're also building depth behind certain players, and that's critical as well. So you have Hatton working out at right guard with the first team. Henson working out at backup center, and they kind of switch to kind of build that depth behind certain guys.
Yeah, because you've got two guys there and a couple of positions that you mentioned at center, Lucas Crowley, who is a senior and is on all these watch lists heading into the season. Same thing with John Heck at the tackle position. But while we're focusing on right guard, because it's the opening right now, an injury along any part of that line is really going to be hard to fill, because those guys are so experienced and have such a good foundation of what they're doing and an understanding of the offense. So while it's important to fill that right guard role with whoever's playing the best, I imagine it's certainly beneficial as well that other guys are at least getting some reps.
Yeah, and last year UNC really lucked out with not many injuries on the offensive line. That continuity was huge to help the run game and pass protection, and that's so important on the offensive line. So yeah, there's a lot of young players behind the starters. You have the three seniors and Bentley Spain at left tackle, but behind them it's mostly freshmen and redshirt freshmen that are getting reps with the second team. So if one guy goes down, they're going to roll in a player who's never played a live college game at many positions. I think the backup at right tackle and left tackle are both redshirt freshmen, and at left guard as well. So there's a lot of inexperience behind the four starters that are going to start against Georgia. So there's some worry there that there's a lack of depth, a lack of experience, but we don't really know how good those guys can be. So it's an important storyline to watch rolling into Georgia game.
And the guys that they're practicing against every day on the defensive line, that was what you were talking about earlier, is being one of the major question marks about this team, just to be quite honest. You know what you're going to get from the offense if everything goes according to plan. The secondary, very strong, losing a couple of linebackers and a lot of young guys being a part of the defensive line. Larry Fedora talked about one of those guys last night that's really impressed him, and Jalen Dalton. I want to get your take on this as well, but we'll hear from Coach Fedora first.
He's really grown and really adjusted to moving from defensive end down inside, and he's doing a good job, so proud of him.
Yeah, and that was Jalen Dalton. He was a big-time four-star recruit for UNC in the 2015 class, and it was a huge name that came in, and this season has moved inside to defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. He's been really impressive. He's about 6'6", 295 from Winston-Salem.
He put on a lot of weight this year, didn't he? In a good way, trying to get a little bigger.
Yeah, he came in like at 240.
Yeah.
And then this winter and this spring, he was up to like 290, 300. So it's kind of crazy. So with his speed and his quickness, they moved him inside where he can be, use that to his advantage alongside Nazir Jones. So you have two huge guys, 6'6", 300 pounds inside, which should help UNC's pass rush and also help them with the run defense, which has been a concern. And
on Tuesday night with Larry Fedora Live, Fedora also talking about that defensive line unit as a whole.
Jalen and Jeremiah Clark and Nas, and then you bring in a guy like Marlon Dunlap, and you got Aaron Crawford, and we're starting to build some depth, and the great thing about it is Nas is the oldest one. He's a junior, and the rest of them are freshmen, sophomores. So, they're going to be around here for a while.
Yeah, and Larry Fedora didn't mention Mikey Bart, who is a senior power defensive end for UNC. But he's right. Mikey Bart's the oldest guy on the defensive line, and with Nazir Jones behind them, it's a lot of young, talented depth and guys they've recruited in the last two or three years. So while there are some question marks, there's clearly some talent there and guys they are excited about, some big bodies inside, and some real players who've been working hard that can hopefully, for UNC fans, be a better front for UNC. And it all starts up front. Chizik's talking about how important it is the defensive line is dominant, that gets that push, that stops the run so that the playmakers can make plays.
And from that linebacker spot, again, replacing two guys in Shaquille Rashad and Jeff Schottmer that were just workhorses, seniors, leaders, and they're trying to fill that with some young guys. So what young guys? You mentioned Andre Smith, I believe it was a few minutes ago, really stepping into a leadership role there at middle linebacker. What other guys are catching your eye that may be flying around making some plays at linebacker? Because there's going to be a lot of attention there as well.
Yeah, so they lost two big guys. And so in their place are two players that have not played as much. You have Kaysen Collins, a junior from Charlotte, and a former walk-on, Cole Holcomb, who was awarded a scholarship this past week that goes along with Andre Smith. So those are three names that are going to be the linebackers for UNC. And, we don't really know what to expect. I mean, you hear the word questions.
Right.
But that's truly what it is. I mean, how good can these guys be when you strap on the helmet? But everything I've heard has been pretty positive about Kaysen Collins and Cole Holcomb. Collins has gotten some experience playing as a freshman and sophomore. always seemed to be around the ball, big, athletic, fast kid who looks a part. And then Cole Holcomb's a little more a smaller type player who the coaches rave about as being very smart, knows the playbook. He's been at UNC for 3 years. He knows what he's doing, but this is his first time being counted on as the guy at outside linebacker. And then Andre Smith, I can't say enough about him as a person and what he's done. I think after a really big year last year as a freshman,
right,
he's going to step in and be UNC's middle linebacker. And another name I want to mention is Jonathan Smith, a true freshman from down Laurinburg,
right,
North Carolina, that has got a lot of pub as a guy to watch for the Tar Heels.
He's a Scotland County guy, right?
Yeah.
I remember hearing a lot about him coming into that recruiting signing day last year and seeing a lot of video on him. One of those guys that may come in, just give everybody a little bit of a highlight reel play every once in a while, hopefully for the Tar Heels. So one area that you don't feel like there's a whole lot of question about is the secondary with Des Lawrence, MJ Stewart, as we've mentioned. But there are a couple of young guys that the coaching staff really seems fired up about. One in particular, Patrice Rene, who's got a little bit of an interesting story. We'll hear more from you about that here in just a second. But Chizik talked a little bit about Rene during Larry Fedora Live this week.
Patrice Rene is the first one that pops into my mind. You know, he's a guy that we recruited, and we thought that, you know, maybe he can be a corner, maybe he can be a safety. It's hard to play with a 6'2", 210-pound corner these days, but that's where he's going to end up.
Wow.
And, you know, we'll see what happens on game day, September 3rd, but it looks like he's going to get a lot of playing time at a corner spot.
Yeah, Patrice Rene was a huge recruit for UNC, a four-star guy who actually played in Virginia, his high school ball, mm-hmm, in Virginia, but is from Canada, which is a pretty interesting storyline there. I remember when Coach Charlton Warren was up there recruiting him, he tweeted out a picture, a screenshot of his phone with it being like negative 20 degrees, recruiting a kid out of, I want to say, Ottawa.
Ottawa, I think,
Canada,
it was. Yeah, right.
So
he's been going from that to the just oppressive heat we've had here in the Triangle so far in training camp.
And with Rene, you kind of see a trend with UNC's defensive backs. They're recruiting big players, long, big players. 6'2 corner is... that's NFL level size. You rarely even see a corner that big because they have to be so quick and so mobile. So he's been the guy at that third corner spot alongside Des Lawrence, MJ Stewart. The coaches and players are very excited about a smart kid, very physical, that has that speed and has that technique to run that for the Heels.
And another guy that the defensive coaching staff seems excited about is a name that's a little bit familiar for Tar Heel fans of days gone by, Miles Dorn, whose dad also played for the Tar Heels. Here's Chizik talking about Miles Dorn.
Miles has really, really come a long way and shown that we don't know exactly where he'll be September 3rd, but he's made enough strides where we know that, again, game two, game three, game four, we expect these guys to take on a huge role.
Yeah, and Miles Dorn, a guy from Charlotte and a Tar Heel legacy, there is a name that popped up very early in the spring. He came in January. And again, another long guy, 6'2", 200 pounds, very rangy at the safety spot. It's going to be a player that's going to get some time as well. So along with Des Lawrence, MJ Stewart, the safeties, Donnie Miles, Dominique Green, UNC has some real experienced talent at DB. But then you look behind them, you have a lot of young players. It's going to be mostly freshmen and redshirt freshmen that are going to be behind the starters there.
But really talented guys. It seems like that was an area, maybe one of those success breeds success kind of things, but an area that the coaching staff seemed to do a really good job recruiting over this past cycle.
I think they knew they were going to need players, so they made a point to bring in, we're going to bring in 4, 5, 6 cornerbacks and safeties because 2 or 3 of them are going to have to play.
Right.
So they went after those guys. They probably sold a lot of playing time that you can come in and you can be the backup safety or the third corner from day one.
Right.
And so they did get some top recruits. You know, Miles Dorn had Clemson and Ohio State offers. Patricia Ney had tons of offers in the Big Ten and the ACC. So these are top-notch guys that UNC reeled in, and that kind of goes along with UNC gaining momentum on the field and on the recruiting.
We've got a lot more to get to here. We'll talk about the one change on the coaching staff. They did have to make one change, but certainly brought in an interesting character to fill that role from what we've heard so far. And also, play calling changes a little bit this year as we'll come back for the final segment of Tar Heel Talk here with Ross Martin and Blake Hodge on WCHL. We'll be right back. welcome back in. Final segment of Tar Heel Talk here on WCHL. Blake Hodge alongside Ross Martin, and we have got a lot to squeeze into the last few minutes of the program here, Ross. We have got an exciting college football season coming up, and certainly a lot of attention focused on UNC, and one change to the coaching staff, only needed one change to the coaching staff this year, was bringing in Chad Scott on the offensive side of things, and of course is a former Tar Heel himself, and Coach Larry Fedora was talking about that, bringing in Chad Scott on Larry Fedora Live earlier this week.
I had heard about Chad probably 5 or 6 years ago, and he was this, known as this bulldog recruiter out there. I mean, he's a guy that would, you know, when he was at Troy, I heard stories about him pulling into parking lots and hotels and didn't have the money to stay there, but he just would park and sleep in his car in in the parking lot. Nothing was going to turn him away from recruiting. So I've known about him and was looking for an opportunity to hire him, you know, and he's the only coach that I've ever been around in 30-something years of coaching that wears a mouthpiece at practice.
Just in case.
And he
gets in there.
I don't know why. I don't ask him. He's got a mouthpiece in, and you walk by the ice tubs on the way in, and he's in the ice tubs with the players every day. And, he gets after it at practice.
Now, that's a level of commitment you don't typically hear, I guess, talking about another coach.
Yeah, that mouthpiece and cold tub bit's pretty funny.
All right, one other little more pressing issue, I guess, is going to be play calling duties for UNC this year after former offensive coordinator Seth Luttrell took the North Texas job. And this is Fedora talking about how that is going to be filled.
Not going to really change a lot from what we've been doing. And so, you know, between Keith Heckendorf and Cap and myself, you know, and really Gunner and Larry, I mean, but a lot of things happen between the series.
Right.
I mean, that's when we decide how we want to attack the team in the next series. And so we usually script out 3 or 4 plays, you know, and that way we're able to communicate that to the players. Okay, guys, we're going to go with this. We're going to go with this. We're going to go with this. You need to be aware of this, what they're going to do here, you know, and then we do that continuously through the game, and it's worked well for us, and it's worked that way for a long time. And so it's not like one guy has to make all the calls, and I'm very comfortable with the transition that we've made, and really there's been no hiccups at all.
So this is pretty interesting because Coach Cap is the offensive line coach, and he's now the offensive coordinator. You kind of wonder, you know, how's play calling going to work? Is he going to be up in the booth? But he can't because he's got to coach
right.
The offensive line, which is a huge job. So, I mean, we've asked questions at media availabilities, and I've talked with Coach Cap and some other players and coaches about it. And so, basically, I mean, it's a group job. You know, Fedora's on the headset. Coach Heck, the QB coach, is on the headset. Coach Cap and Coach Brewer and Coach Larry Porter, and they're just kind of all talking about it. They script plays, like you said, between series, and they know what they're going to do in certain, you know, third down and 2 or first down and 10. They kind of know a group of plays. So a lot of it's set out, and this is Larry Fedora's offense. They've been running it for 5 years at UNC or 4 years at UNC and many years before that at Southern Miss. So there's not a lot of confusion. They know what they're going to run. They got great offensive minds. Coach Heck will be in the booth. Coach Cap will be on the ground, the field, and they'll be the two guys kind of orchestrating the play calling duties there, and there should be no real change in how it's going to work, or, you know, there's no egos, Coach Cap told me about with his coaching staff. It's not like, oh, that was my play call, that was the best play. It's a group effort, a team effort, and that chemistry is there with the coaching staff just like it is with the team.
Now, they're going to have to put up a lot of points to win a few of these games, Ross, and let's look at the schedule real quick. You just give me a win-loss as I run through the UNC football schedule here. Against Georgia, September 3rd, what you got?
I think UNC's going to win that game.
All right, right off the bat here, September 10th against Illinois.
It's going to be a win.
James Madison.
Win.
Pittsburgh.
Tough one, but it's going to be a win.
In Chapel Hill, so getting the win there. At Florida State.
I think the Tar Heels are going to lose that game.
All right, you would have been a homer if you picked that one. Virginia Tech.
That's a win.
Miami, at Miami.
God, that's going to be a tough one to call. I'm going to go win there.
All right, that's a big one there. Virginia in Charlottesville.
Win.
Georgia Tech in Chapel Hill.
Okay, I think one of these games at some point they're going to have to lose, and I'm gonna say that's a loss there against Georgia Tech.
Duke in Durham.
Win.
The Citadel.
Win.
NC State, the day after Thanksgiving.
win. NC State is struggling recruiting right now.
All right, so there's your projections, and we'll hold you to that, of course, Ross, as we go forward. Thank you so much for joining us here on the first edition of Tar Heel Talk. We're going to be bringing in a lot of other voices throughout the program here over the next few weeks, hearing from other beat writers. Looks like we have got Andrew Carter from the News and Observer scheduled to join us next week. All looking forward to that. Ross Martin, check all his stuff out, carolinablue.com, 24/7 sports. I'm Blake Hodge. This is Tar Heel Talk on WCHL.